Europe.
Charlemagne. The Lazarus Effect. What Europe's comeback political leaders can teach wary American voters.
All political careers end in failure, but some politicos decide to ignore the memo. In Europe, a caste of national leaders booted out of office have made their names by eschewing retirement and returning for a second or third stint in power. Such encores seem to defy electoral logic. Why would voters plump for a candidate they had previously sent packing? A phenomenon that could once be dismissed as a mere European electoral curio may hold lessons for American voters as they ponder whether to send one former White House resident back to his old haunts. Alas, looking at what some of Europe's returnees have wrought will do little to soothe those who fret that a second coming of Donald Trump might make the first one seem like a time of wise and moderate governance. The track record of rebooted politicians is not all grim, but a fresh shot at power offers unwelcome opportunities for boomeranging rulers to subvert the system. Sending previously discharged leaders back to the top job is not an exclusively European habit. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva was president of Brazil from 2003 to 2011 before returning last year. Abe Shinzo reclaimed the Japanese prime ministership in 2012 for 8 years, having first held the post in 2006. But Lazarus-style leaders are so common in the European Union that three of its 27 governments, in Hungary, Slovakia and Poland, are currently run by such returnees, with more putative round-trippers waiting in the wings. Bar Germany, Spain and a couple of others, all EU countries have been led by a politician who lost, then regained office on at least one occasion within living memory. Americans, in contrast, have not yielded to the temptation of the tried and previously discarded since Grover Cleveland in 1892. Stateside politicians routed at the polls prefer to go off to write their memoirs and pocket large speaking fees. Plenty in Europe spend their involuntary unemployment plotting their return instead and earning large speaking fees. Why not? Looking back at history, some European comebacks were codas that even their protagonists would rather were forgotten, like Napoleon's return to power for a catastrophic 110 days after an original reign of 15 years. Whatever Winston Churchill achieved in his second stint in office from 1951 to 1955 could never match his achievements during the war. More pathetically, Silvio Berlusconi needed three stints at the top of Italy's government to become the country's longest-serving leader, dragging its economy enduringly into the mire in the process. Between 1979 and 1992, Ireland was led by two men who traded the top job whenever the political winds turned. Some second acts do work pretty well. Charles de Gaulle's repeat performance after 1958 steered France out of crisis and installed a new republic that exists to this day. What do the current batch of resurrected retirees tell us about the practice of voters rehiring old hands? For Americans worried about the return of Mr. Trump to power, which The Economist's polling model suggests is as likely as not to happen, the omens are indeed ominous. Two of the continent's comeback kids, Viktor Orban in Hungary and Robert Fico in Slovakia, have used their second and third stints in office, respectively, to undermine the rule of law in ways that Mr. Trump's critics worry he might emulate. Ironically, both were once somewhat mainstream liberals, leading Hungary into NATO and Slovakia into the Eurozone. After licking their wounds following poll trouncings, both came back with a far better sense of how the state machinery worked. But they returned not with a better knack for serving the public good so much as one for being savvier in getting round checks and balances. Mr. Fico has launched criminal probes into his political opponents. Mr. Orban's grip over Hungary's institutions is such that he is barely considered a Democrat in EU circles. Sometimes a resurrected leader can use his insiderish touch to help the liberal cause. Donald Tusk, who stepped down as Polish Prime Minister in 2014 to take a top EU job before returning to the Prime Minister's office last year, is trying to rebuild the rule of law after his predecessors attempted to rot the state from the inside. But even there, the manner in which he has wielded his iron broom, for example, to dissolve and relaunch the state broadcaster the now opposition had turned into a party mouthpiece, itself raises questions about the power of the executive he leads. Reheating old leaders sticks in the craw of those who see the constant refreshing of a polity as an enduring source of democratic vitality. Comeback leaders are not merely better at dodging rotten tomatoes, they have first-hand knowledge of how the state machinery works from their first day in office, making them more effective than perhaps the system is designed for. In contrast, even the best-prepared newbies in office are left fumbling to figure out the job in their early months, a time when their political capital is at its apogee. This throws sand in the gears of power, for example, by forcing politicians to rely on civil servants who will temper their excesses, or, in the case of Mr. Trump, on outsiders in cabinet who tried for a time to rein him in. A welcome variant to rebooted leaderships is to let past prime ministers re-enter public life on a lowlier perch. Northern Europe has seen former leaders return as foreign ministers instead. A former two-time prime minister of Denmark, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, is now its top diplomat. Sweden's Carl Bildt and David Cameron in Britain had similar career arcs. Other retired leaders have ended up in Brussels, placing a familiar face in a polity that often feels distant to voters. François Hollande went from the French presidency in 2017 to being one of 577 members of parliament last month. This serves as a reminder to citizens. Politicians are meant to serve the institutions, not the other way round.